Our gospel lesson is found on page 2 of the Pew Bibles, Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when this star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now you may wonder why we bother with the wise men story. You may think, I already know that story. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. One of my favorite Christmas cards has a Far Side cartoon on the cover. And in the cartoon, there are three wise men at the door of the manger scene with their gifts in hand. And there's a fourth wise man with his head down, kind of walking away. And the caption says, "Unbeknownst to most theologians, there was a fourth wise man who was turned away for bringing a fruitcake." Now, I love fruitcake, but in moderation. Now, that's not true. But trust me, there are things that you probably don't know about this story. How many wise men were there? Most people answer three. But we really don't know. The Bible doesn't say. There could have been 2 or 5 or 10 or 20. The number 3 comes from legend and a guess from the number of gifts. And what were their names? Most people know that the legend says Melchior and Balthazar and Gaspar, but the Bible does not say. They are only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, and the names and the number are not mentioned. Were they kings? I think you can see where this is going. Well, not according to the Bible. Only Matthew mentions them, and Matthew calls them magi. Magi were many different things, but they were not kings. Magi were Persians. They were not Jewish. And our word magic or magician comes from the word magi. They were horoscope readers, a practice that was condemned by Jewish law. Magi meant in Jesus' time astrologers or fortune tellers or stargazers, and they did not worship the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. Characters of their ilk were also condemned in the New Testament book of Acts. Elymas and Simon Magus were both magi, and they were both condemned for their beliefs and their practices. You may be starting to be angry at me for poking at the tradition. But you need to get the picture. Just like the Good Samaritan story that Jesus told, that parable where the priest and the scribe are not the heroes but the outcast Samaritan, the magi in the history of Jesus' birth were of the wrong race, the wrong denomination, the wrong faith, and yet they, outsiders and ritually and religiously unclean, are the first to honor Jesus as king. The first to honor him by bringing the best they had as gifts to celebrate his birth. You realize, if you think about it, that the very tradition of gift giving at Christmas, the tradition that we continue, and the tradition that we will continue to pay for up until about May, is a tradition that we get from this story, from these outsiders, magi, bringing their best from a far country. From a far country when just 6 miles away in Jerusalem was the temple, the headquarters of all the priests and all the scribes and all the learned men of Israel, Israel, who was told to expect a Messiah 6 miles away, and they were oblivious to his coming and to his star. That may be the major point of this passage. Every time we think we know how and when and where God will act and sit down satisfied, God goes and does something entirely unexpected. Don't ever think you have God in a box. Don't ever think you've got God on your side, figured out and tamed. God will act how God will act. And when God's people stop looking for God to act, this passage says to me that God will find another people who are looking. We must never presume to know what God can and cannot do and who God can and cannot work through. We want clean-cut, well-scrubbed, rumor-free, community-minded religious heroes above reproach. But that is not what we get in the Magi, nor, when you read it carefully, any other part of the gospel story. The gospel story is not a story of good people getting their just rewards. It is not a story of decent people getting even better by wisdom and understanding. The gospel story is the story of sinners saved by grace. Hopeless, fallen creation redeemed by a loving God who came to us in Jesus Christ. A gift, the ultimate gift of God's love for the world, Jesus Christ. A world filled with imperfection, filled with twisted ideas about God, filled with twisted ideas about love and what worship means. On one level, these magi got worship right. They had hope. Worship ought to be a time of rejoicing and God's hope against the darkness of this world. And they got right that they were to bring the very best as gifts, and they did. They brought themselves through personal cost and through danger and through darkness from a far country and the best that they had to honor what God was doing. They brought gifts. The poet Emerson wrote about gifts. He said, "Rings and jewels are not gifts, but apologies for gifts. The only gift is a portion of thyself. Therefore, the poet brings his poem, the shepherd his lamb, the farmer corn, the miner a gem, the sailor coral and shells, the painter his picture, the girl, a handkerchief of her own sewing. Something that is of your essence. These gifts represented the tools of the trade and the value that they had in what they did. Now back to the wise men. They, you know, there's really nothing particularly wise about seeing a star. There's no trick in that. Anybody can do it. Stars are not hidden. They're up there for anybody to see if you look up. Now maybe they were wise, because not everyone looks up, literally or attitudinally. Not everyone looks up. In fact, very few people are positive in their outlook and consistent in their uplook. The famous motivational speaker Zig Ziglar once said that, "I am such an optimist that I'd go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and I'd take the tartar sauce with me." Now, most of us are not like that. It's so easy to get caught up in the negativism of this world and to give in to pessimism. It's easy to have your head down and have your eyes focused on the ground, because there is so much wrong in the world today. And even when things go right, we don't trust it. The news is mostly bad news. Violence, division, and strife and mistrust is everywhere. Most of us are more like Charlie Brown, who once announced, "I have a new philosophy. From now on, I'm only going to dread one day at a time." Remember, it was the same in Jesus' day. The bad headlines, the violence, the strife, the division. These wise men did not get bogged down in the mere facts of the world. Facts and news and headlines and views and opinions and food and drink and class and nation and race. Somehow they saw beyond that and beheld a hope coming from outside the world. A hope coming into this world. A hope that was no mere physical view, no mere factual view could ever explain. No, these men believed in a world beyond this world, different from this world, and yet a world that was making itself known through the appearance of a star and a newborn king. And this was very wise, for these men believed that there was more to the world and to their lives than meets the eye. They saw a sign that pointed out into the darkness, and they journeyed following after it. Their looking up with hope was welcomed. Their gifts may have been the very means and the very money that Joseph and Mary used to escape the murderous Herod. They, not the priest, recognized and worshiped first the newborn king, recognized first this new thing that God was doing. Outsiders or not, they were welcomed by God. They were welcomed by the Christ child himself, welcomed by his sweet spirit, whether or not we might have welcomed them if we had been there. They are welcome. Be they magi or murderer, astrologer or drug dealer, stand-up citizens or poor white trash. They are welcome because this is Christ's church. And they have come to look for the things that only Christ can give them: grace and mercy and forgiveness and wholeness and peace and joy. And above all, hope. Precious and holy hope. So for their sake and for God's sake, let us be as welcoming as God dares to be, when he not only lets the outsiders, the magi, in the front door, but he also placed a star in the heavens to guide these old astrologers to the place, to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. Apparently, God wants everyone to know that hope is available here. This story of the Magi is not just a sweet tale for funny costumes and children's programs. It is one of the most powerful stories in the gospel. One person has called it the entire gospel crammed into a few paragraphs. Brian Stoffergan says, "If God has Magi, foreigners and pagans, come as the first to recognize and give Jesus the proper respect as King of the Jews, then we should know that there is nothing in our lives that would keep God from bringing us to Jesus. And if there's nothing in our sinful lives to keep us away from Jesus, then there's nothing in the sinful lives of others we meet every day that will keep them away from Jesus." And it is true. The cliche that we see, and sometimes on little pins and Christmas cards, it is true that wise men and wise women still seek him. But wise men and women never stop seeking Him. As soon as your understanding grows stale, as the priest and the scribes in Jerusalem's understanding about God had grown stale, so they missed it. As soon as your understanding grows stale, you may miss what God is doing next. When you think you have all the answers, when you look down on your fellow seeker one pew over, when you come to believe that you have arrived in your faith and you have nothing left to learn, then you have left wisdom far behind. The Magi knew in their heart that no system of belief, no ritual, no program, no matter how well intended, can bring salvation and hope to the human heart. It takes a person. They came bearing gifts for a person, the person of God in Christ. Their salvation would come only in a person, in this case, the hand and voice of God, in the form of the baby Jesus. And I believe they found the salvation that they sought. And having found it, they went home changed men another way. However firm your theology, however firm your politics, however firm your philosophy or worldview, you still need a person to give you hope. You need, I need, God in Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you find Him, give Him your best. Give Him yourself. And put on your running shoes and keep looking up, because you don't know where God will lead us next. You don't know where God will lead us next. Amen.